And this is Manifestation Intro Evening, track one. Cool, welcome. I'm really glad you're here, because otherwise it would have seemed sort of funny. Yeah. Up here all by myself. But I'm glad you're here. We're going to... There's that funny thing, sometimes when I go to name my stuff, it's like the names that would fit what I'm doing don't indicate what I mean them to indicate. This was announced as an introductory evening. It is, but I know I've attended introductory evenings before that were basically a sales pitch of, this is all the wonderful things you'll get if you take it. This isn't that. This will be, here's the flavor of what we'll be doing, and there's more of that. So it's more along that line. So we're going to start with the small and impossible to read part that's on the front of the page there. So you don't have to worry about reading it. You just have to worry about letting it soak in and deciding you agree with it. And what it says in that tiny print, it says, I agree in my deepest consciousness that I am willing to cooperate in releasing all inceptive fundamental decisions from childhood, adulthood, or even before, which have limited or restricted me from accessing and realizing my natural abundance and prosperity, releasing all of those at their deepest and incipient level, such that all reinforcements and replications of those decisions are released in a cascading instant. So, I know you read it. I know you got to listen to it the first time to listen to it. I'm going to read it again, and what I'd like you to do is think about it. So a couple words, I think they're self-evident. It says inceptive. That would be earliest. It also uses the word incipient. Incipient, which would be first. So just think about this and decide whether or not you'd be willing to agree with this. It says, I agree in my deepest consciousness. Now, I'm not asking if you know how to access that. I'm just asking if you're willing to let it affect you that deeply. I agree in my deepest consciousness that I am willing to cooperate in releasing all inceptive fundamental decisions from childhood, adulthood, and even before, because sometimes we've had some befores. I am willing to cooperate in releasing all inceptive fundamental decisions from childhood, adulthood, or even before, which have limited or restricted me from accessing and realizing my natural abundance and prosperity. So we'll stop at that part, and I'll just have you ask yourself, are you willing to agree to that? If so, let your head nod. Okay, I'm going to read that part again. I agree in my deepest consciousness that I am willing to cooperate in releasing all inceptive fundamental decisions from childhood, adulthood, or even before, which have limited or restricted me from accessing and realizing my natural abundance and prosperity. Releasing those at their deepest and incipient level, such that all reinforcements and replications of those decisions are released in a cascading instant. Are you willing to agree to that? Breathe really deeply and let it out again. I know your brain is saying, but I don't know how. Not your job. My job's the know-how. Your job is agreeing. How many of y'all can recognize the experience of one part of me this, but the other part of me, eh? I found it very interesting that I had for some period of time been watching my food intake because I found that I'm happier and healthier when I'm less fat. Isn't that fun? That's such a rude word to say in America, when I'm less fat. I'm supposed to say when I'm trimmer or when I weigh less or when I've relieved myself of excess, when I'm less fat. So I've been watching my food intake, and then every now and then there are the natural and obvious exceptions. When I was visiting some dear friends in L.A., and she honored me by remembering that my favorite cookie in the world is Snickerdoodles, and she made them from scratch homemade, I decided that any time I encounter from scratch homemade Snickerdoodles in my honor, I'm allowed to eat them, because that's a fairly limited market. But it is fun to watch sometimes because there's a salad bar restaurant that I go to frequently and eat, and I typically just bypass all of their desserty stuff. It's just not on my list. But a few days before, I had been someplace where they had this amazing imported organic chocolate. And I decided, amazing imported organic chocolate, narrow marketplace, I could make that exception. And what I found was hysterical was, 2 days later, I'm at the salad bar, and somewhere my conscious mind went to the south of France for 10 minutes, or Tahiti or someplace. Because the next thing I know, I'm back at my table with a bowl of ice cream with chocolate sauce, which is not on my narrow market list, but somebody at my table, me, had eaten half of it already before I came conscious and went, I don't eat this. So sometimes those parts are ever so subtle in how they interact. But if you've ever experienced that place where you're moving right along on something that's working well for you toward your goals, whatever they may be, it may be that you find that your life is happier and healthier and more wonderful if you're more fat, in which case, you know, that's a difficult task for some people. I have friends that find that a difficult task. I've offered to be a fat donor. They've refused. I thought about calling hospitals that treat people with wasting diseases, but there's not been a lot of market so far. But when you found yourself on track doing some set of practices, we'll call it, and it may be simple or more complex practices, but you're on track towards some goal that's working for you, and then just as I described, your brain goes away for a little while, your conscious mind that's on track, goes away for a little while, like 6 months, you know? And you suddenly notice, you know, it's like I had a friend who was walking every day, and they were finding that they were getting terrific results out of that. They were walking 20 minutes every day, but they found that the distance they walked in that 20 minutes was gradually increasing. Their lung power was better. They were doing it every single day, no matter what. And then one day they woke up, and they started to put their shoes on to go walking and realized that their walking shoes weren't where they usually were, and then it dawned on them that they'd forgotten to walk for 4 months. Just never crossed their mind. Until all of a sudden, I look at these like circuit breakers, temporary circuit breakers. You build up a certain amount of energy, momentum, expansion, and then click, that circuit breaker clicks over, and you totally lose track of that part of your thought process till you've declined the energy far enough that click, it clicks back in, and it's as if suddenly somebody, you know, I've been gone at the restaurant because somebody's eaten a half a bowl of ice cream. They've not only eaten it, they've served it, brought it to the table, and eaten a half a bowl of ice cream while I wasn't there. Even though it was me and my body and my spoon. For those of you wondering, of course I finished the rest of it. It wasn't like when I suddenly came conscious, I was able to say, nah, I don't eat this. No, I was able to say, I don't eat this. But I found that the best willpower I could work up was anymore, after this. But, you know, that's that fabulous brain part of once you've broken through that barrier, well, you know, what's the difference between half a bowl and a whole bowl of ice cream? There is no real, yeah, right, 7,000 million calories or something like that. So we hit these circuit breakers, and as I've been studying further into them, you can think of them as separate compartments or separate parts of our consciousness, separate parts of our mind, and not everything is in all the parts, all the containers. If you've ever watched a friend, perhaps, have the experience where on one hand they were in a relationship and on one hand they were stunned that their partner had ever done such a thing and on the other hand they were furious because their partner had done it so many times. Y'all, you get it? One compartment didn't know that that person would ever do that because that was the compartment that if you really love someone, you only see their good part. And the other compartment was actually keeping score. Two separate parts and they can vacillate and bounce back and forth between the two. We get these separate compartments in ourselves, and each of them gets its own goal. And then it acts with its own strategies toward its own goals. So if you've ever had the experience where one part of you, you know, wanted to do the thing that would work out really well, and the other part, all of a sudden, it seemed like you were stymied or immobilized or you couldn't move forward. That's exactly that. You've got one compartment, perhaps, that's outgoing and able to engage with people or with a career direction or with a monetary direction or starting a business, whatever it might be. And you've got this other part that is way out of date that says, no, the safest way to be is to be small and silent, seen but not heard, maybe even not seen, and stay completely invisible. That's the place where we'll be safest. And so one part's trying to move forward while the other part's trying to pull back, and you end up just stymied in the middle, immobilized. A portion of what we'll be doing is A portion of what we'll be doing is we'll be updating old compartments that have gotten out of date so that they can be coordinated with your current goals, your current reality, who you really are, and who you're on your way toward becoming. So a portion of what we'll be doing is getting your parts in a row, as it were, so that we can go explore what those earlier strategies were and what those earlier goals were of those strategies and whether or not they still match up for you. We will not at any point overpower you or insist that there's some right way you should be. There is no right way you should be, because no matter which way you be, you'll be learning your spiritual lessons through a human lifetime. You can't miss on that one. It happens. That's why there's, that's why God believes in recycling. That's why there's more than one lifetime to work with. Is you work with whatever parts you work with, and you keep narrowing it down until all the parts get worked with. It's that simple. It's not like school, where if you run out of time and the final exam comes along and you haven't done it yet, you're toast. All puns intended. You will get there. So there's no right way for you to be, and there's no wrong way for you to be. There is, however, you being in alignment with yourself or you being at struggle in conflict inside yourself. My personal preference runs toward minimizing the internal conflict and maximizing the flow and synchronicity and the amount of light that I shine. But that's just my personal preference. Quite frankly, I'll let you know that the same tools we're using in class, if your preference is to maximize internal conflict, you'll be able, with tiny amounts of tweaking, to actually dial your inner conflict up. Now, please understand, I'm not saying you'll accidentally do this. You'd have to do it on purpose. But you could, if you wished, purposefully dial up the amount of conflict you have inside yourself using the same practices. Again, not that that'll happen accidentally, because I know some of you are able to immediately take anything I say and go, well, then I better not take the class, because if I could accidentally end up dialing up the conflict, I don't want more conflict. He just said this class could give me more conflict. No, I'm saying you could use these tools to have more conflict if that's what you want, but you'd have to do that on purpose. If you go into the default position, you'll accidentally end up with less internal conflict. You'll accidentally end up with more of you in alignment with where you're wanting to go and less of you pushing against where you want to go. Accidentally. If you just fall into the default of what we do, you'll accidentally find that the synchronicities and the coincidences that arise in your world will pick up. And they're fun. They're really fun. And then the stories start to happen. Of, wow, I didn't expect this windfall. I didn't expect that windfall. I didn't expect this to show up. I didn't expect that to show up. In good ways, again, I love it. It's so much fun listening to where brains go with this. Oh, wait, that's going to have stuff showing up in my life faster and faster. I don't want stuff showing up in my life faster and faster. There's as much, pardon me, but I'll use the word stuff, but that's not the word I mean. There's as much stuff showing up in my life at as fast a pace as I can deal with already. Yeah, you got that. If you've ever been around a river where you had the opportunity to be around the river where it wasn't in the rapids and around the river where it was in the rapids, it's the same amount of water. You can't have more water flowing downstream of the rapids than you have flowing upstream of the rapids or in the rapids, unless you've got more rivers adding in, of course. Ah, thank you so much. If y'all want to go ahead and set your cell phones to silent or vibrate or whatever you prefer, or just go to the front door and throw them away because you never want people to bother you again, whatever works. At which point I'd better check. I always love it when the only person in the room that hasn't set their phone to silent and it rings in the middle of the workshop is me. One of these days I'm going to just throw me out when that happens. Tell me I can't ever come back. So if you've ever had the opportunity to be around a stream or a river and be around a portion of the stream or the river where there were rapids and around a portion where there were not, it's hard to grasp it mentally, but there's the same amount of water in both places. And if you've ever been in a canoe or on an inner tube or in a boat or whatever in the river where you were in some rapids and not in the rapids, it's a significant difference, but it's the same amount of water. So what's the difference? Turbulence, constriction, obstacles. It all comes down to turbulence and constriction. Because quite frankly, even if there are rocks in a part of the river that's really wide, you don't get the rapids, the water just goes around the rock. Right at the rock, you've got a little bit of turbulence, but it's a negligible amount. So when your mind is saying, oh my God, he's saying he's going to speed stuff up, in the same way that, in a funny way, the water can actually flow faster where the rapids aren't and where it's not constricted, but it's smoother. So when your mind wants to worry about speeding up, you can just respond to it that whether you can respond by choosing whether or not you'd be willing to smooth it up, to have your aliveness, your energy, your power flowing deeper and broader and smoother. There's a downside to that. If your conversations historically have been based on your turbulence, take away the turbulence, you're going to have to find new shtick. You'll have to get new material. All right, so just for curiosity, whether your conversations were or weren't based on the turbulence and the disturbances in your life, how many of y'all would be willing to find different material that didn't have to have you having turbulence in your life to have conversation? Fabulous. Perfect. Okay? The truth is, it's like comedians. Lots of comedians make up stories about their husband and wife that have nothing to do with their real relationship. They just make up stories so they'll have something to talk about. If your life gets incredibly smooth and you find that that makes for a lack of conversation material, then make up horror stories and make yourself the hero that you came through it okay, and everybody will think you're wonderful. You know? It works. Just try to not get a whole lot of press behind it, because then it turns into a problem when somebody finds out it wasn't true. You know, hold short of having been kidnapped and escaped from terrorist groups and things, because there's just too many questions about that. On the other hand, it's really fun to tell stories about synchronistic events that worked out well. Those turn out to be fun conversations as long as you don't hammer on them too hard. As long as you don't then go into gospel preaching of, and you too could have this flow, you know. If you're going to do that, make sure you carry my cards. If they go, wow, how'd that happen? Go to this guy. That works. Works for all of us. Then you don't have to sound like you're preaching, and they'll never call me anyway. So, you know that. With some of your friends, they could say, how did you make things go so smoothly? You could say, this guy will fix it. And would they call? When they had to do the action? Nope, not going to happen. Why spam works so well. Oh, all I have to do is click here and all my problems are solved. Yeah, it's perfect. Cool. Lisa, grab one of the things on the table as you go by. Perfect. So if we're creating, no, with creating that richer, deeper flow of life force energy, it magnetizes synchronicity. So let me just define that term. See, I'm a firm believer. A lot of people say I don't believe in coincidence. I absolutely believe in coincidence. I just don't believe that they're random. I totally believe in coincidence. I have experienced far too many of them in my world where they were synchronistic, where synchronistically a thing fell together in a way where it worked well for me. And I love to watch them. The more elements required, the more fascinating it is. It's a favorite story, but you have to be really kind of semi-geeky to get it, so sorry about that. But there used to be a company called CompUSA. Some of you may remember. Mm-hmm. And one could have predicted how the company would have thrived based on their customer service dedication. But they used to run ads for stuff at amazing prices. And they would have three of it. But they'd circulate it in an ad that they would send to the entire Bay Area. And it's not like once the three ran out, they gave out rain checks. No, they had three of it. But they printed 253,000 ads just in case there were only three people in the whole Bay Area that wanted one. So it was very common to go to CompUSA for the really great sale thing. And if you weren't there when the doors opened and if you didn't immediately elbow people out of the way and dash for the item, you did not get that item. But there were frequently other things that were on sale, like any good sale. So I would stop by for the other stuff, never expecting the prize. And I happened to stop by, fully not expecting the prize, and every now and then they would actually have a lot of something that was a prize, and so I wandered over and looked where it would be on the shelf, and it wasn't clear where it would have been. And about the moment that I was ready to walk away from the shelf and go get the other stuff I was there and assume that I'd missed the prize, a CompUSA employee wandered by. Now, any of y'all that knew the store, that's a fairly unique occurrence. Okay? And I asked them, you know, is this where it would be if you still had any? And they, in normal CompUSA function, said, I don't know. What's it say on the shelf? To which I said, well, I think it indicates that they'd be here, but I wasn't sure. I just thought I'd check. And oddly enough, he was moved to the notion of customer service, and he spotted another buddy of his that worked there that was down the aisle, heading across the other way, and he hollered to that guy. This is two employees in the same place in the store where I was. This is remarkable synchronicity. And he hollered to that guy, do we have any of the thus and such? And as that guy responded with, I don't know, a third employee further down the chain overheard and said, we've got two of them. Some guy just brought them back because they were the wrong style. Which style does he want and how many? I wanted two, and they were the style I wanted. I don't believe that that's a random coincidence, because it took all of that, because it had not been reshelved. In the normal flow of things, it would have gone into the back room. It would have been reshelved some number of days later. But because I happened to bump into an employee who happened to actually holler to another employee who happened to be overheard by yet another employee who happened to be the one that had just taken the return, I got the whatever they were. At the whatever price it was, which was an amazing price. And I watched five heads in the store come up and look to see if I was going to take both of them and sort of have that, all right, he was the one that started it. He can claim both. I can't really dive in and say, well, I get one and you get one. So it was very fun to watch. Synchronicity. Stuff just falling in place. I have to admit that there's a point at which you start to get disappointed when they don't happen. Not disappointed, stunned. When I suddenly think of something I need and there's a store that might have it and it suddenly dawns on me I should stop there and check and I go in and they either don't have it or they only have it at full price, I'm really startled. It's like, hey, I tend to go ahead and get it anyway because I needed it and maybe it was like the need is going to show up sooner. I'm here. I might as well get it. But my norm is I suddenly think of the thing I need. I notice a store that maybe I did or didn't know they had it. I pull in. I go in and they either nobody in town has them but they just got them in or they got them in and they're on sale. That's my norm. It's not 100% of the time. Sometimes I just have to go to the store and go buy things. But when it suddenly pops up, I sort of look to see what interesting thing is going to come out of that, because it does a lot. Synchronicity. I find it fun. Maybe some of you would find that would make your life just not a good enough story to be worth talking about. But I talk about the synchronicities in a good way. People seem to think those are interesting stories. Particularly friends of mine that remember CompUSA, they look at that story with awe, and truly, it would be easier for them to believe that, you know, I took a running start and jumped the Grand Canyon because I had a great tailwind. They have trouble believing this CompUSA story. That would be a little easier to take. But a whole chunk of it is us getting us out of our way. Are you willing to believe that you have a core spiritual essence? Yes or no? It's as good a way to think of it as any, isn't it? Because you know that there's a part of you that isn't the body. And you know that the body's a part of you that isn't your consciousness or your awareness. Any of y'all that have ever fought like a really good nicotine addiction, you've known that there were the times when your conscious mind was totally on track and your body mind had another plan altogether. Thank you very much. I know certainly I've known people who were quitting smoking who found the same experience I found with the ice cream, where suddenly somebody else had lit and put a cigarette into their lungs and they weren't even there at the time. Just the body part took over, autopilot. I have, through the course of my life, noticed several times when I've had friends that I knew they were consistently lucky. I had one friend that my late sweetheart worked with. If there was a door prize, we'll just call her Alice, not my late sweetheart, but the friend. We'll call her Alice because that's not her name. If there was a door prize, you knew Alice. If there were many door prizes, you knew Alice would win one. She was not guaranteed to win the best one, but you knew she'd win one. You could have 1,500 people in the room and 5 door prizes, and we used to like sort of take wagers, not on whether or not Alice would win one of the 5, but which one she'd get. Because you knew she would. And if there was only one prize, you probably only had about a 75% chance that Alice would win it. It's how she functions, how her life worked. I remember a kid I knew when I was in high school. And this kid would, out of nowhere, go walk into a place and put in a job application and land a gig at 3 or 4 times as much money as any of the rest of us were making. That was a way better gig than any of the rest of us had. And it was consistent. He would just do that. To where he sort of took them for granted. You know, it's kind of like we wanted to, listen, when you decide to blow this one off because it's just not that important to you, could you give them, well, don't use you as a reference, but could you give them, let me know so I can go apply? So how many of y'all in your lifetime, you've known somebody that was on that end of the spectrum where they were consistently, fortuitously lucky? Maybe not huge things, but it just showed up a lot. Yeah. Well, just for fun, how many of you have known people on the little Abner, it was impronounceable, Joe Blifstick, something like that, where he had a dark cloud around him? How many of y'all have known people that if anything could go wrong, they were the walking epitome of Murphy's Law? You knew that if anything could screw up, it would in their world. To where you started like watching their lives, kind of like, you know, other people could get away with certain risky stuff, and you're thinking, don't you do that. You know, they're the person that you would say, for God's sake, do not lie on your income taxes. You know, lots of people could lie 50 or 100 bucks one direction or another. If you mess around with it for a dime, you're going to end up hurt. You just know that's how it's going to go. Certainly, I would hope you've pondered why. Maybe not with any conclusions, but you have to have wondered why, particularly on the people that are fortuitously lucky. You have to wonder why. I certainly did with the guy that landed these amazing jobs. Why? And later in life, I found out that people have thought that about me because I've had some interesting things fall together in my world. Why? I'm going to tell you that when I work with individuals, when I work with clients, when I work with groups, I'm watching energy patterns. And with individuals, I can read out their energy pattern and tell you not only what's going on in their life currently, not necessarily with details or names. I wish I had names. It's so impressive. It's not any more useful. It's just really impressive. I just went through an audiobook written by the person that the TV show Medium was...